Y'all can hear me? Hello? Anyway. You can hear me though. Oh, there I go. Hey. Say, hey, mind is playing tricks on me. How y'all doing? Now I finally understand why they say I stand behind this sacred desk. I get it. Amen. I like this. It's so laid back in here. Can we give the pastor of this house a hand? Amen. Pastor Randy Shipley. Amen. 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 All of the cooperating pastors, if you would just stand. I know we recognize y'all. Just stand up again and turn around. Let them see y'all. Amen. Pastor Deacons, everybody. Amen. Wow. Look at y'all. Ooh. Whoa. It is so wonderful. Now, you know, in a time when all this divisiveness is going on, now, I need y'all to make sure y'all put y'all pretty face on. Hold on one second. I got to get this in. Hold on. Now, some of y'all got to come in. It's just so wonderful to see all these different nationalities together. It's just good to see you. I'm gonna go ahead and get into this word, amen. I don't wanna scare y'all. Keep some of y'all here longer than y'all used to be. You know, our cultures are a little different when it comes to church, amen. But we just thank God for all these different people coming together. And I just thank God for the friendship, and I thank God for the churches that originally pulled me in, First Baptist Morrison, First Baptist Denby, and Colossians. We thank them for welcoming me. And then I was like, let me pull my people in too. So it's good to see Randy Shepley, of course, here, and the pastor Manor Church here as well, Brother Chris Haller. It's just good to be here. And let me get into this word. Amen. It's good. Amen. 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 Wow. It's so many, y'all. Let me hurry up. Lamentations. I'm coming from Lamentations. And just bear with me, it's going to get happy. But they call Jeremiah the weeping prophet for a reason. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 16 through 26. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 16 through 26. It reads, "He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity, and I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind. There have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, said my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for them, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Lord, ask for your power to reside in me. Lord, decrease me and increase your spirit so that I may bring a word that you would have me to bring, a word that will heal a nation, a word that will bring people together, and a word that will allow people to look at you more than they look at their success or even their failures. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. If you would take your seats in the presence of God. You see all these camera people everywhere, they filming, because I wanted to do a documentary kind of behind the scenes just to document this great thing with everybody coming together, because a lot of times church is one of the segregated places in America. So it's just good to see all the brothers and sisters in Christ come together, no matter who you voted for, just don't tell me. And we love each other. Great is thy faithfulness is the text we're coming from. the sermon topic, the sermon title. Great Is Thy Faithfulness is a popular hymn in all churches. While worshipers can sing it on any given Sunday, this hymn often turns up mostly during the Thanksgiving season. We sing the familiar words about God's unchanging character and his steadfast consistency through the seasons. Yet, few of us remember, and even fewer of us know, that the theme of the hymn's lyrics come from the Book of Lamentations. The prophet Jeremiah writes Lamentations in a time of grief. However, Jeremiah doesn't stop with his lament. Right in the midst of all of his complaining, right in the midst of him complaining to God about everything, the prophet remembers that what makes life worth living, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. See, we focus too much on our love for God more than we emphasize how much God loves us. See, our love sometimes has limitations. I love him unless he do this. I love you forever. I love him, but if he, if she, you know, we don't know how much God loves us because we can't love endlessly like God. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. See, he loves us. Once he loves you unconditionally. Once you realize God loves you even more than you love yourself, you will be unshakable in your most dire situations. Many times we complain about what is going on in our lives, but if we just look back over our lives, we can truly say that we have been blessed. We've got testimony, as the song says. Some of us are complaining about our lives at this very moment. If we look at how much we have been blessed with blessings that we don't even deserve, we would stop. We sin every day, yet we are in positions of power and influence. We sin, yet we own businesses that are thriving. When other companies are going out of business, we are still standing. We need to bring back the old Timex watch model. No matter what you go through, and no matter what Satan throws at you, you will take a licking and keep on ticking. Like Job, we should say, though he slay me, oh, will I trust him? The prophet Jeremiah reassures us that God is always faithful to us. He reminds us that God's care for us runs deeper than our circumstances. He reminds us that God's mercy on us, but God cannot condone sin, and it will never go unpunished. He tells us in verse 39 that no living man should complain when punished for his sin. He's saying if we are still living and haven't lifted up our eyes in hell, we should count it all joy. Because the Bible says in an instant the sinner is dashed into eternity. When justice tried to hang us, you know, mercy cut the rope. See, aren't you glad that grace and mercy followed you all the days of your life instead of you following grace and mercy? Because every now and then you might make a wrong turn, say the wrong word, go to the wrong house, do the wrong thing, end up in the wrong place. But I'm so glad grace and mercy follows me. No matter where I go, his grace and his mercy shall always be with me. His compassions live forever because he loves you unconditionally. Oh, he loves you that much. Ephesians 2:4-10 states, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. After hearing this scripture, you should not worry about if you're going to be blessed. God, through grace and mercy, has already preordained your success. Don't get frustrated with the process. Don't abort your blessings in the midst of the process. See, can I talk to you because Thanksgiving is around. Can I talk to some men? Don't look at your wife because you might get in trouble. But you don't want your wife to put a turkey, or you don't want your man to put a turkey in the microwave. Come on, somebody. You don't want that. You don't want a microwave cook, at least not on Thanksgiving, baby. Can I get you to marinate it overnight? Can I get you to put the spices in there? Can I get you to season and let it sit overnight? Can you put it in the crock pot and then can you just let it sit? And maybe Pastor Shepley will preach just long enough so when by the time we get out of church, it'll be done and tender. That's how you gotta understand with your blessing. You gotta go through a process, and the process, if you don't abort the process, he will bless you because you will receive persecutions in this lifetime because you are peculiar people. Some of us want microwave blessings, but you don't want a microwave turkey. If you don't want a microwave turkey, why you want a microwave life? You got to learn how to endure the trials and the tribulations. I'm trying to help you a little bit. I'm trying to keep my Joel Osteen on till I go to the TD Jakes. I'm trying to keep everybody together. I'm schizophrenic right now. I don't know which way to go. Oh, Jesus. The Bible says that God chastises those who he loves. Psalm 23 says that his rod and his staff comfort us. See, you think that the rod and the staff just for your enemies. Come on, when you pray that prayer, what you're really saying is God going to deal with my enemies. Do you know that the rod and the staff is also for the sheep? Yeah, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. See, on that hook, see, the shepherd has a hook at the end of that. And every now and then, it might hit a bear or a lion that's trying to get the sheep. But if the sheep get out of line, sometimes the shepherd will grab the sheep by its neck and yank it back in. How many people know whiplash hurts? Come on, somebody. Every now and then, I know you think it's Satan that's gut punching you. I know you think it's the devil every time you hurt. But every now and then, God will gut punch you to make sure he gets you back in line because he'd rather chastise you than you go. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Now, come on. Let me go. Remember when your mama and daddy would fuss at you, and even if you were wrong or even if you were right, you knew to be quiet? Come on, somebody. I know I can't talk to the millennials. They don't understand, but can I talk to some more? Can I talk to the people that dyed their hair and you really older than you look right now? Can I talk to the people that got some wigs on? Can I talk to you? Remember when you knew you just needed to be quiet? You might not get hit if you quiet, but if you open your mouth, you really will. So what Lamentations begins to tell Jeremiah is just be quiet, because if you endure what God is allowing you to go through, oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. He's molding you into what he wants you to be. Let me just get out of this. What I'm saying is when you get angry, don't direct your anger to God. Every now and then, you got to have a conversation because you're going to get upset with God because you have a relationship with God. But let me talk to you. But don't bite your heavy load bearer. Don't bite your saving grace. Don't bite the hand of your Jehovah Jireh, your provider. Don't bite the hand of your Jehovah Rophe, your healer. Don't bite the hand of your Jehovah Nisi, your victory. Don't bite the hand of your Jehovah Makedesh, your sanctifier. Don't bite the hand of your Jehovah Shalom, your peace. Don't bite the hand of your Jehovah Tekisnu, your righteousness. Don't bite the hand of your Jehovah Rohe, your shepherd. Just be quiet and take it and understand that Jesus is the only one that didn't sin, and the wages of sin is death. And if you're going through something, at least you know you're going to go to heaven and walk on the prayer. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. See, you upset. If Jesus went to the cross, if Jesus was persecuted and he never sinned, why do we get so upset? Can I tell you a secret? I'm glad when people, have somebody ever been lied on? Hey, but you ever been lied on before? But ain't it, it's good to be lied on, because I'd rather them be telling a lie on me than the truth. You know what I'm saying? Can't,
But look, every time, if you can just think about the time you've been lied on, but think about the time you did something that was wrong, that was true, and then nobody know about it. You know why? It's because God is giving you grace and mercy, because he does not let you get attacked in areas you're not fortified in. But he says, I will chastise those who I love, so I'm going to punish you, but I'd rather punish you over here where you're strong and not where you're weak, because if I allow you to get punished where you're weak, it's going to totally destroy you. So stop getting mad when people talk about you and it's a lie. Just hold up holy hand and say, thank God it's not the true scandal that's going on in my life. Come on, somebody. We all fall short. Lie on me all the time. When you tell the truth, I might have to come get you. See, before I became a leader, I thought everybody loved you as long as you loved God. As long as you treated people right, I thought they treat you right. As long as you took care of people, I thought they would take care of you. As long as you were loyal to people, I thought they would be loyal to you. But let me tell you something, baby. The rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. It doesn't matter how righteous you are. It doesn't matter how holy you are. Something is going to come your way. Let me go to Ezra 3:11. Tells us his mercies endures forever. See, the weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. See, can I talk to you about Jeremiah? See, you got to understand, God never promised you that the weapon would not be formed. He never promised you that the people on your job wouldn't lie on you. He never promised you that everything was going to be peaches and cream. But he did say, even if it's formed against you, it will not prosper. See, some of you all sitting in church right now mad, don't even want to go to work tomorrow because you're mad at the person in the next cubicle, you're mad at the person in the office next door, and you don't even want to go to work. Why are you letting somebody frustrate you who's not the captain of your soul? Can I talk to you? Truth be told, don't you pray more when you in trouble? See, if we pray more when we weren't in trouble, maybe we wouldn't have as much trouble. But God makes sure that he keeps us on our knees. Yeah, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Let me go. I'm trying to get out of here. Trying to be black and white at the same time. I'm trying. Telling you. The white guy is telling me to sit down, but the Negro is saying, keep going. I'm trying. Jesus. But I hope. I know you're ashamed you called me your friend. I'm sorry. The messages are not endorsed by that of my friend. A word from our sponsors. We do not represent. Now, seriously, let me go. See, his love can overcome our darkest fear, greatest loss, and deepest sorrow. And for every long, dark night of the soul, a new morning ascends on the horizon, bringing a new day. See, this sermon was birthed to touch someone's pain and rejections. Your weeping may endure for a night, but your joy will come in the morning. Don't take these words lightly. These words are life-giving promises from God that all of us need during our darkest moments. Some of us have gotten to the point of our lives where we didn't even want to live, but God saw our sorrow and returned our joy. This sinful and disappointing world cannot guarantee health, wealth, and success, but we do have the promise of God's power and love. When we feel hopeless, we can submit to God's will, wait quietly for his deliverance, and rest in the promise that his love will carry us through. It may hurt, but you will be all right. God compares himself with a shepherd. He compares us to sheep. Sheep are nasty, stinking, unintelligent animals. When sheep excrete their waste, it gets tangled in their thick wool, which causes them to smell atrocious. Sheep are so intellectually challenged. If one sheep falls off a cliff, the rest of the herd would keep walking and do the same if the shepherd doesn't intervene. A shepherd has to be very patient with and dedicated with protecting the sheep through their smell that makes it easy for predators to track them and cover them. Because they're dumb. Sheep can't even drink at water unless it's still. That's why God said, he said, David said, he'll leave it beside the still waters. Because if water is moving, sheep cannot drink it because their fur is too thick and they will drown. And also, their mouths are made in such a way that they can't drink it. It'll drown them because it'll go up their nose. Sheep can't do anything. He said, I will lead you beside the still waters. If you just give God control over your life. One of the most amazing things about a parent is if you say mama, nobody gonna turn around but your mama. No matter how crowded you are on Black Friday, no matter how many clothes you're looking through, no matter how old or young you are, nobody is going to turn around but the mama who's the mama of that child. Come on, somebody. It's uncanny. Do you understand? If your mama can understand your voice in the midst of the crowd, I don't care how many billions of people are in this world. Do you understand? God will hear your faintest cry. When you cry out to God in the middle of the night, he hears you. It doesn't matter if your pastor doesn't hear you. It doesn't matter if your deacon doesn't hear you. It doesn't matter even if your spouse doesn't hear you. God hears every cry you cry. He's faithful. So you got to learn how to walk on the water like Peter. Peter didn't get out the boat because he was trying to show out. Peter was getting out the boat because the storm was so strong and so big. And he saw Jesus just strolling on the water. And he said, Jesus, let me come to you. And Jesus said, come. But the problem was when he started walking toward Jesus, he started looking at gas prices. He started looking at taxes. He started looking at who's in office. He started looking at how much money he got. He started looking at all these different things. And he began to sink. Stop looking at the ways of life and look at God's unchanging hand. Lamentations. Jeremiah is showing you that you need to stop looking at all your problems. Oh, this is why you should tell God that no matter what challenges I may have to deal with, oh, he coming out, or what setbacks I may have to endure, I will count it all joy and thank you for your faithfulness. Oh, I want to thank you for what you have already done. I'm not going to wait until I see the results or receive rewards. I'm going to thank you right now. I'm not going to wait until I feel better or things look better. I'm going to thank you right now. I'm not going to wait until people say sorry to stop talking about me. I'm going to thank you right now. I'm not going to wait until the pain in my body disappears. I'm going to thank you right now. I'm not going to wait until the financial situation improves. I'm going to thank you right now. I'm not going to wait until the children are asleep and the house is quiet. Lord, I'm going to thank you right now. I'm not going to wait until I get promoted at work or until I get a job. Lord, I'm going to thank you right now. I'm not going to wait until I understand every experience in my life that caused me pain or grief. Lord, I'm going to thank you right now. I'm not going to wait until the journey gets easier or the challenges are removed. I'm going to thank you right now. I'm thanking you because I'm alive. I'm thanking you because I made it through the day's difficulties. I'm thanking you because I've walked around the obstacles. I'm thanking you because I have the ability and opportunity to do more and do better. I'm thanking you because, Father, you haven't given up on me. And Lord, I know great is thy faithfulness. Even though I'm going through and the world is bringing me hell, I know it won't consume me. Why? Because your graces, your mercy endures forever. Great is thy faithfulness. Can I walk down Paul Jones Street and sit my little happy self down? president. Don't worry about who's secretary of state. Don't worry about who's the governor. Don't even worry about who's your supervisor. Because great is his faithfulness. He's bigger than your problems. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, his rod and his staff shall comfort me. No matter what you're going through, God is with you. Whether you white, black, Latino, Mexican, red, yellow, blue, green, whatever color you may be, whatever your economic background, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, you do not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father. Don't look down on somebody because they don't have, because in an instant God can speak a word and put you right there. And don't think anybody's better than you, because God can speak a word and put you up there. His mercy endures forever. But the main thing you need to understand, no matter if you have much or little, no matter if you live 70, 80, 90, or 120 years, that's a short time. The main thing you need to make sure is you're ready for eternity. And the way that you're ready for eternity is to stop worrying about all the little frivolous stuff that goes on in the world. The Bible says that the devil is the little g god of this world. World comes from the Greek word cosmos, which means the order or the arrangement of things. And God says those things that are unseen are eternal. Those things that are not seen, that are seen, are frivolous and are fake. Cosmos comes from the word cosmetology, comes from the word cosmos, which means like makeup. So really what the devil can do, he can paint a picture that makes it look like it's bad. But it don't matter if you're sick, because God can heal you. Y'all hear what I'm saying? It's not real. Your circumstances are not real. Yeah, if you're going through something, you're going to feel it. But you need to understand, you can transcend what's going on in your life. That's what Jeremiah realized in this text. He doing this to me. I can't do this. My teeth are broken. He's not doing this. Oh, woe is me. And then it clicked to him. My God is bigger than any problem. My God is bigger than any challenge. My God is bigger than any obstacle. And he said, great is thou faithfulness. Whatever you're going through, great is his faithfulness. He loves you. He loves me. He loves your neighbor. He loves your enemy. I know it's hard, but he does. Just understand, great is his faithfulness. And whatever you're going through, weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. Amen.